Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. We are welcoming your lawn and garden questions to be answered by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Things are looking up, at least the temperature. The thermometer is looking up.
Yay!
Yeah, it looks really good. Relatively speaking, we're still might hit around zero for an overnight low, but wind chill's still a factor. But it looks... Well, unseasonably warm by the end of the week. The 20% chance of rain, maybe, on Thursday.
I'm almost okay with that, Denny. I'm almost okay with that.
I understand why you're saying that. In the meantime, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we tend to get this hour. So call with any kind of a lawn or garden question you might have for Teresa. Either call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Yes, indeed. That's exactly well, things are thawing out, so things just kind of, that's almost like springtime. They're popping out of the ground. In fact, somebody sent a text earlier today thinking spring. Interesting question, I think. It says, I'll just pose it and then we'll talk about other things. Our well water, texter says, is very rusty. We water our vegetable garden with overhead sprinklers. Particularly with our potatoes, it seems that we can see a slight rusty color on the plants later in the season. The question is, does the rusty water have any bad effects on our vegetable plants?
It does not. Your plants will be just fine with it. The color on the plants is just, it should be fine. Everything should be fine with your plants as long as your well water is safe. Then you've tested it, and it should be just fine. The rust is not an issue.
Oh,
I grew
good.
Up in northern Minnesota, where rust is like everywhere. I mean, the waters run red on the streets because of the iron ores, and the plants are just fine. So don't worry about it.
Well, that's good to know. That's good. Where did you grow up, if I may ask?
Up in Virginia.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So I'm a deranged ranger.
I was going to say
so
you're
that
a ranger.
Explains so much about me if you know me. I'm deranged. Yes.
They're a great bunch of folks, but I remember my longtime friend Steve Cannon and I have had many conversations about the range.
The
as
range.
He called
this. The range.
Yes. Yes. Again, 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you with any kind of a lawn or garden question. Getting some, and naturally so, I guess, some, indoor type of questions.
Yep.
What does, this is the first one here, what does plant shock look like?
Plant shock. I haven't.
I mean, I've heard the term, but
I haven't heard it in that respect. I would think it could be either it's a shock with temperatures. You're bringing home a plant from the garden center, and it gets cold outside, and maybe it wasn't double wrapped if it's really cold, or if you've just transplanted a plant, then your plant will go into a shock. That's a big. It's like you moving a house. It's a moving from one house to another. It's a big shock on your system. It's an even bigger shock on the plant system because you've moved those roots around, you've damaged some roots. So sometimes there will be a transplant shock. And that just means you just carefully keep the plant watered well. You don't give it any food until it starts to be actively growing. And then you can restart your fertilizing program. But for those first maybe month and a half, you just want to make the plant's life as easy as possible. Give it the light it needs, the warmth it needs, and the water that it needs, and hold off on fertilizing those new plants.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning here on CCO, either by phone or by text. Speaking of the phone, let's grab a phone call. Kathy is calling in from Excelsior this morning, I believe. Kathy, good morning. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Good morning, Teresa. I brought my cannas in last fall, and now they've started to grow. Should I cut them back or should I continue to let them grow?
I would let them grow if you want to maybe start to plant them up in maybe in a, if you can hold off, maybe keep them in a little cooler location, a little darker, so they're not as actively growing. Keep an eye on them and then maybe toward the end of February plant them up, and then they'll be that much further ahead when you get them outside and you transplant them into the big pots or into the soil where you're going to transplant them. But they were just ready to grow, I guess. It just got a little warm for them.
It's going to be interesting. Well, maybe interesting is not the correct word, but looking at that forecast, it's still cold. But by the end of the week, we're looking at about 37 degrees. Is that going to cause any issues? Now, again, if we have it's such a small chance of rain, 20%, I believe, that this 37 degrees, is that going to make the plants or shrubs or whatever start reacting? Or are we still in the depths of winter? It shouldn't.
It's still winter because the light, although the light is getting more, that we're having more light and more intense, and the temperatures probably won't stay in the 37s for that long. If they hit 37 and they stay there for a month, then you're going to see a lot more growth on the plants. But if the temperatures rebound back to closer to 32, 33, 27, the plants will just say, it takes them a little while to react to those quick temperature spikes. But if the temperatures stay up for a longer time, the plants say, it's spring. And then they start to get a little aggressive and growing, and you start to see the buds swelling a little bit and things like that.
As I said, texters asking about indoor plants. What kinds of issues can occur with growing plants indoors? That's a good question.
Well, that's a really good question. So sometimes we have in our homes, we have these bright windows that we have on the south side or west side of our house, and we think there's so much sunlight. But for the plants, they're getting filtered sunlight through the screens on your windows. They think there's so much sunlight. But for the plants, they're getting filtered sunlight through the screens on your windows, the dirt on your windows, the dust on your windows. And then if your windows have any argon gas or anything between them, or there's two or three panes, a lot of that light gets filtered out. So the plant is seeing a lot less light. And also inside the house, your plants may be attacked by insects because there's no predators around. There's no birds usually to eat the little critters. There's no other aggressive insects that eat those critters. Those little mealy bugs and scales and white flies and things like that have no predators. So sometimes you can see in that perfect environment an increase in insects. And then you just have to go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, pull up your house plants, and then look at the insects that you're seeing and how to treat them on specific plants.
That's a great idea. We always like to make mention of that University of Minnesota website. One of the best. We're so lucky to have that.
We are.
It's here.
An excellent website. Oh, my goodness.
extension.umn.edu. If you want to find some great information, whether you're a master gardener like Teresa or a beginning gardener, maybe you're looking for a plant, a tree, a shrub, or how to grow tomatoes, or whatever. Or maybe you want a better lawn. There's so many. I mean, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. There's so much information in that website, extension.umn.edu. Check it out, and you can even ask a master gardener, I believe, on that, right?
You can, yep. Just scroll down a little bit, and it'll say Ask a Master Gardener. You can click on that little field, and you'll get you right over to the Master Gardeners. You can type in your question. You can add up to 3 photos, I think, to illustrate your problem or your question if you have good photos. And then a Master Gardener will research it and get back to you.
But you also have the opportunity this very morning right here on WCCO to ask this Master Gardener your questions. Teresa Rooney, kind enough to help out this morning. So if you'd like to call Teresa, if you'd like to send a text, either way, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. We'll take a quick break, Teresa, and be back on the other side. 651-461-9226. I can tell you it's still 4 below zero. We're looking for a daytime high today of about 10 above, but still the wind chill value is going to be still chilly, minus 17 or so. We dropped to zero overnight. And then tomorrow, partly sunny for your Sunday, near 21, the daytime high. But the trade-off is it's going to be a windy day, gusting as high as 35 miles an hour. So you still need to bundle up tomorrow. But 21 the high tomorrow. Right now, fair skies, it's a minus 4 here on 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those particular lawn and garden questions you may have this morning at 651-461-9226. If you'd like to call it in, we'd love to hear your voice. If you want to send a text, if that's easier, that's great too. 651-461-9226. Teresa, we have a call. Kyle calling in, I believe, from Dassel this morning. Kyle, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Hello, Teresa. I planted in late fall, maybe late September, about 2.5-3 acres of a mix of fescue and winter wheat for cover crop for the winter. The winter wheat started sprouting a little bit, and the grass did not like it. I was hoping so. But I was doing so much listening about pollinators and pollinator plants. I was wondering if there's something out there, a good mix, I could maybe go out there early spring to broadcast on some pollinators and then roll that in, because I've got a lot of dirt exposed. It was only like a 30% mix of winter wheat that started coming up.
Kyle, that's a great, great idea. You can add some clover to that. That would be wonderful. The white clover will really help. It'll add to your soil some nutrition and nitrogen, but it also will be a wonderful a pollinator plant. That would be the easiest thing to do when spring is a great time to add the clover to that. Good luck, Carl. Kyle.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any type of, like, more of a taller flowering plant that I could throw in there as well?
If you want to look at any of the native plants that you want to grow out there, you could do coneflowers and just look at native prairie plants. A lot of them will need winter stratification. So it would be better if you could maybe, I don't know if your ground's bare now, you could put the seed out now for them. If the ground's covered with snow, you can't do that. But maybe next year in the fall, then you could sow the taller native wildflowers, like the coneflowers and things like that up there. It depends on how tall you want them. Look into some taller native flowers. Go to the Extension website, and they'll have some great ideas for you, Kyle. Good luck with
that. Yeah, that's what I was kind of looking for, is where to go to get it. Okay, up that Extension website.
UMN.edu.
Yeah, you'll love it. That's great.
Yep.
Thanks, Carl.
You'll love it, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Again, 651-461-9226. Looking at some text messages coming in this morning, Teresa. Here's one. Why are my tautan ewes turning almost black? I watered them well this fall, as I did all my evergreens. Love the show. That comes from Bill.
That's an interesting thing. I'm not quite sure why they would be turning black. I would maybe go out there and cut a little bit off and bring it in the house and see if you can see anything on that. You may even want to take some pictures, two or three pictures of them in the situation, and send that to the Extension website, Master Gardeners, Ask a Master Gardener, and they might be able to do some research on it. It could just, if you've never seen this before, I'd be worried. If you've seen this other years, some ewes and some evergreens turn weird colors in the winter, but it's not usually the tautan ewes. They don't turn black, and black is not something you want to see on your plants.
Okay. Texter says, good morning. What is the benefit of organic soil versus non-organic soil for indoor houseplants when repotting with fresh soil?
That's a total personal preference, whether you want to just go with organic or non-organic. It's just a totally personal preference to you, how organic you want to be. If you're not eating something that you're growing from your houseplants, you're not growing lettuces or something like that, it's really up to you. You don't have to do organic if you don't want to, or you can if you want to. It's just personal.
Well, I'm looking at a text that I bet after listening to you and your colleagues, I bet I know the answer, what you're going to say here. Wondering if I can trim lilacs now. They have grown. They are leaning toward the road. Need to shape them up a bit. Can I trim off the ends?
Okay, so the short question is, there's no pruning police. You can trim a plant whenever you want to. However, there are consequences to trimming your lilacs now. You will be pruning off flowers. If you don't care, then go ahead and prune. If you need those flowers for some reason, then you do not prune. However, if they're leaning toward the road, they're going to be in the road, they're going to be obstructing the view, then you probably have to trim them now. And you'll just lose out on the flowers this year. So those are the things you have to juggle. Do you want the flowers or do you have to prune for shape and safety? If you have to prune for shape and safety, that overrides your wanting of flowers and you just don't get flowers this year.
Interesting watering question, text-wise, Teresa. Would it be a good idea, texter says, to pour some water on young trees this next week when the temperature rises?
I would say no. I go out there. If the soil is frozen, which I'm sure it is, the water will not go anywhere. It will not sink into the ground. It probably will just turn into ice, which could cause issues later, or it will just run off and be wasted. So if the ground is not frozen, yes, you can water. If the ground is frozen, no, you cannot water and you cannot fertilize. You wouldn't want to be fertilizing now anyway.
No, true. Here's an interesting text. You can help me explain this. Texter says, we are members of Minnesota Water Garden Society and are looking forward to Teresa's talk next month. What is permaculture? What is permaculture? What is that?
Permaculture. So permaculture was kind of invented in the 1970s by two Australia gentlemen. It's a combination of permanent agriculture or permanent culture. It's not brand new. It's taking very old systems of gardening and bringing them all together and gardening with nature, like you would look into how does nature grow things, and that's how you grow things. You garden with nature. You put systems in place that kind of can reflect on each other and emphasize each other so that you keep getting more and more benefits and you have less and less inputs. And it just is a very helpful system to garden with nature. It helps you learn, you know, you don't have waste and you do small incremental steps at a time because every time you change something, everything around it changes. So you just mimic nature at all possibilities. And that doesn't mean you only grow what grows in nature. You can grow things that aren't normally native there, but you just intercrop them and bring them all together.
Now you'll be speaking there? You'll be appearing there?
I will be speaking to them, yes.
All right, so this, can anyone attend, or is this strictly for the society?
You would have to talk to the Minnesota Water Garden Society. I don't know what they have, but yeah. That'll but I'll be at the Home and Garden Show, too, so.
Oh, fantastic.
Not on permaculture, but on other things, yeah.
Well, that's coming
So I'll be
up.
Cropping
wow.
up everywhere, kind of like a Japanese Beatles. Garden Show, too, so.
Oh,
not
fantastic.
Not on permaculture, but on other things, yeah.
Well, that's coming
So I'll be cropping
up.
Up everywhere, kind of like a Japanese Beatles. So.
You're a popular master gardener,
I
for
don't
sure,
know about
for
that,
good reason.
I like to talk about gardening, so.
All right, well, we'll talk some more because we'll take a break and have a look at that forecast, Teresa, so hang on. We have just about a half hour more of the show to go. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours. For Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, this morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa answering all of those lawn and garden questions this morning. It's 651-461-9226. If you'd like to call in your question, chat with Teresa, great. Otherwise, just send a text like some folks are doing as well. 651-461-9226. Teresa, here's another text. A texter says, I cut the brown hydrangea flowers in November when I made my porch pots. Will this result in fewer blooms next year?
Probably not, because your hydrangeas are probably the type that bloom on the new and old wood. So they'll send up new growth, and then you'll get new flowers. There are a few that bloom on old wood, so anything that you cut then will not, it would have set its buds last year, so you would have been pruning off those buds. But most of our flowers here, in most of the hydrangeas we grow, bloom on new and old wood, so you should be just fine.
Okay. What's going on at the Arboretum these days? Even though we have chilly weather, there's still things to do if you, you know, brave the cold weather, lots to do inside and outside.
There's lots of stuff going on at the Arboretum, so you could drive around or walk around and see what the evergreens are looking like. Look at the plants that have pretty colored wood, and you can see if you want to put those into your landscape, like red dogwood or something like that. There's classes going on at the Arboretum. There's yoga out at the Arboretum. It's inside now, but it's not outside, I don't think. There's full moon hikes. There's one coming up this weekend, I think, or this week. So there's a lot of things that you can do at the Arboretum. And if you're really craving a bunch of nice, warm, moist air, you can head over to the conservatory and just stay in with the nice, warm houseplants in there, or the orchids and things like that in the conservatory. And there's lots of things going on at the Arboretum.
Absolutely. Just get online and reserve a time, and it makes it very easy to get there and park and all that. So just yep. you gotta go online, though, for
sure. You
got
to go online and get your tickets, get your reservation.
Great place. Texter says this, I wrap the trunk of my young hydrangea trees to prevent animals from chewing. Is it okay to leave the wrap on permanently? If yes, should I rewrap each season?
No. What I would do is, as soon as the plant starts to come out of dormancy in March or April, I would take that wrap off. If it's a hard plastic, be careful taking it off. If it's just the paper, it's going to disintegrate, so take it off. You want to have those trunks of all of those trees and shrubs, you want those wrap-free during the summer, so that insects can't get under that wrap and start to feed on your plant. And you want that nice, healthy growth. Plus, if you kept the wrap on all the time, the tree couldn't grow. The trunk can't grow, so you don't want to compress the trunk. So do take that wrap off during summertime.
All right, very good. Go back to the phones this morning, Teresa. Let's talk to Jill. Jill calling in from Stillwater this morning. Jill, thank you. What is your question, please?
I have a bunch of Annabelle hydrangeas. Can I trim those off now when it's been nicer, since we don't have the snow cover, or do I need to wait till spring?
You can trim those whenever you want to. Cut them back down to maybe about a foot or so, and then those parts that you have trimmed off, the stubs that you left, those will probably just leaf out for you, but they can also help to hold up some of the new stems that will be coming and help keep those more upright, especially when we get the heavy rains and things like that, because they tend to flop a bit. But yep, you can go ahead and prune them back if you want to now, or you can wait till a nicer day in February or March and then do it at that time.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. That's our phone number. It's also our text number on our Smart Garden Show this morning. This listener says this, Teresa. We will be gone for 15 days this coming February. I have a lot of indoor plants. What is the lowest temperature I can leave my home? The plants are cactus and not tropical. Also, would I need to have someone come in and water them once?
They probably don't need to be watered, because you're going to lower the temperature a little bit, so they won't be as warm. Give them a good drink of water before you leave. I would keep the house 60-ish for those cactus. I wouldn't probably go much lower than that. If you need to, maybe block off one room, move them all to one room if you want to lower the temp further in your house. However, it's only 2 weeks. I wouldn't I wouldn't lower the temp too low in your house. You don't want pipes freezing and things like that. So I'd keep it maybe 55, 60, and then in the room where the cactus are, keep it about 60.
All right, very good. Morning, Denny and Teresa. This texter says, regarding indoor plants, how frequently should they be fertilized? That comes from Marty in Minneapolis.
Marty, that's an absolutely excellent question. You never want to fertilize a plant that isn't growing actively. So if your houseplants are just sitting there and they don't seem to be putting on new growth, they aren't flowering, they aren't doing too much, just let them sit there and don't do too much right now. When they start actively growing, when they're seeing more sunlight, maybe the temps get a little warmer for them, but it's usually a light thing. Then as soon as you start to see that new growth, you can then go back to your fertilization schedule, whether it's at half strength or a quarter strength, every time you water, or how you normally do your fertilizing. Start off at half strength if possible, and then let them get actively growing, and then you can go back to fertilizing as normal.
A couple of other indoor plant texts coming in this morning. This one simply, well, it's a rather large paragraph, but basically they're talking about what might be the symptoms of overwatering your indoor plants.
That's a tough one to explain, because overwatering and underwatering can look the same initially. So your plants will start to wilt. The leaves start to just kind of droop down. The plant looks a little, not as glossy, not as happy, not as healthy as before. It doesn't have that glow. It kind of looks a little gray, a little ashen. And then you want to test and see, is it because I'm overwatering or underwatering? If it's overwatering, then take your plant to a place where you can, like a table, and take it out of the pot. See what the roots are like. Are the roots all mushy? Are they all decaying? Are they all just awful looking? Trim off all of that, put it in new soil, and then start the plant over again if possible. If, however, it's bone dry, then you need to water it. If it's just really, the soil's really soggy, maybe remove some of that soil, retransplant, plant it into a new pot with some fresh soil, and be careful not to overwater, and make sure that you always have a drainage hole in the pot that you have the plant in, and that if you have it in a saucer, you make sure if that saucer gets filled with water, you empty that out so that the plant doesn't sit in that water. So the roots need air also. They need water, but they need air also, just like we need water, but we need air also. So if we were all underwater, we couldn't breathe and we would die. And you don't want your plant roots to sit in that soggy, wet, over wet soil.
There's another critter question. We get those from time to time, as you know. This listener doesn't know if it's aphids or fungus gnats, but they want to, how do you get rid of them? What's the difference? I mean, I've seen fungus gnats in the past.
So aphids aren't going to fly very well. So if you come up to the plant and all of a sudden a cloud of little teeny tiny, they almost look like fruit flies, start flying around, those are fungus gnats. If you look on the plant and there's some bugs that are sitting there and they're kind of just, they have round oval-shaped bodies, and then you start to see honeydew or a sticky substance on the leaves, those are aphids. Two different things to get rid of. I would say go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and after you've decided which one you've got, then go for that treatment.
You know, something I haven't seen or heard in a long time are spider mites. Where do those usually show up? Is there a certain type of plant or plants that end up getting spider mites?
We start seeing spider mites on a lot of plants this time of year inside the house. You will also see them outside sometimes in the summertime, but we have predators out there that eat a lot of those spider mites, so they're kept under control usually. Sometimes they get a little heavy on some evergreens. But for spider mites in the house, that's when we start seeing them now, and it's because our plants are more stressed, because our houses might be cooler. They might be more drafty because we're sending out a lot of really dry heat coming from our heating sources, and that's really tough on plants not to have that humidity in the air. There's not a lot of sunshine in the house for the plants. They just get kind of stressed, so they're more susceptible to spider mites, and then you would see them in the house on just about almost any plant. can get spider mites in the house. And then, again, go to the extension website and get some ideas how to take care of them. Sometimes just washing the plants off in the shower will really help. And just try to pull your plants through this tough time of year. January and February are really tough on our houseplants. And by March, we have a lot more sunshine, and it's a little more humid, and it's a little easier on the plants. So they kind of breathe a sigh of relief, and so do we. They're a little easier, a little happier.
Teresa, a texter wants to know, in spite of our warm-up by this coming week, is it still okay to trim any kind of trees?
Yes, yes. So they're probably worried about their oaks and elms and ashes and things like that. Yes, you can. The insects aren't going to awaken out of dormancy. Worried about their oaks and elms and ashes and things like that. Yes, you can. The insects aren't going to awaken out of dormancy that quickly. We don't have to worry about funguses and things like that for our apple trees and our fruit trees. So yes, you can still prune your trees. If it's a good time to prune that tree, you can go ahead and prune it.
Okay. We need to take a quick break. Okay. Let's do that. We have time for your lawn and garden question either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226 here on our Smart Garden Show. 4 degrees below zero right now. We're hoping to hit a high of 10 degrees above. Stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Just a reminder, coming along next hour here on CCO, we're going to be talking home improvement. If you have any kind of a home improvement type of question for Andy Lindis, we'll open up the phone lines and text line, of course, next hour for our home improvement show. In the meantime, we're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden type of questions today. And we do have some. We'll have some more, put you back to work. But again, if you've never checked out the U of M website, I really urge you to do that. It's extension.umn.edu. It is great wintertime, summertime, anytime reading. These good folks put in a lot of the labors of love to get you that information there. And it's one of the best in the country, I'll say that. Extension.umn.edu. But in the meantime, Teresa, here's one for you. Can I transplant a Christmas cactus now, or should I wait for spring?
You can go ahead and transplant that now, as long as it's not flowering. If it's flowering, wait till it finishes flowering, and then go ahead and transplant it. That's just fine. Perfect time for it.
Okay. Are you a fan, texter wants to know, of these small ceramic pots with a clay insert?
You can use those. However, you have to make sure that the ceramic pot, that you dump that water out, because it will drain through the clay, and then you don't want that clay pot sitting in that ceramic pot filled with water. You need to make sure you can either dump it out, or if it's really big, take a turkey baster and suck the water out as much as you can. After you water your plant, it will run through the soil, and then it'll sit in the ceramic pot. So you want to make sure that you can get that water out of there somehow.
You know, it seems to me that we, and you and I talk about the Master Gardener program from time to time. Is this the time of year things really happen, or is it a beginning, or is it coming close to end of class? Where are we as far as Master Gardener education?
The interns are going through class right now. They'll be going through till the end of, I think it's January. However, they take the classes on their own. It's all online, so it's a self-paced thing. So they do say that you should try to get it done in the first part of the year, because then volunteer opportunities will start coming. However, they can stretch those classes out to the end of the year if they want to. So yep, they're in the middle of class. The interns are in the middle of class. Most Master Gardener programs that have the Master Gardeners already certified are gearing up. They're starting to get their classes. So go to your local extension site and see if your county has classes that you can sign up for. I know in Hennepin County, we've got a lot of classes that we'll be putting on, vegetable growing classes and seed starting classes and all kinds of classes that will be going on. So you'll want to get involved and sign up for those. Most of the ones in Hennepin County will be going online. So there'll be all Zoom classes. So actually anybody from any part of the state or even out of state can take our Zoom classes. We welcome everyone to to the classes.
That's kind of neat. I wonder, again, I don't think you and I've talked about it, but if there's has been more of an interest since the pandemic hit over the last 3-4 years or so.
There has been.
There has.
The gardening has come, and we see that in our master gardeners. We have a lot more people interested in becoming master gardeners. We also just see a lot more people gardening for themselves. They've come to realize that gardening, while it can be frustrating at times, it can also be very relaxing and give you just a breath of fresh air, literally and figuratively, to get out there and from some of the stresses in your life. And plus, if you're vegetable gardening, you can get food. Or if you're growing fruit or trees or bushes, you can get food. So there's always that aspect, too.
Great program. Texter says that doesn't mention a plant that might be affected, but they want to know, what is powdery mildew and how do I get rid of it?
Okay, powdery mildew is just what it sounds like. It's a mildew on your plant that looks like you sprinkled baby powder all over the plant. And those are the actual fungal spores that you're seeing there. So the first step you can do is actually to spray water on the plant. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but water like a rain or just a squirt gun of water will actually kill those spores. Then you want the leaves to dry very quickly. So maybe you set a fan on them, and hopefully that will end the cycle of powdery mildew. You can also go to garden centers and find pesticides or things that will help get rid of the powdery mildew. However, once you have it on the plant, it's harder to get rid of. And if you don't change the conditions of where the plant is growing, the powdery mildew can come back again. Outside in the garden, in the landscape, you will see that some plants always seem to get powdery mildew. It doesn't really impact them that much usually. It just looks bad for the plant. It does cut down on some photosynthesizing, but most plants can work their way out of it. Some plants are just very susceptible to powdery mildew.
Okay. This listener says, I have a spruce tree that is dying from the top down. It started a few years ago. I just checked with an arborist, and he said it has 10 years left. Should I just wait before chopping it down?
That depends. If you really like the plant and you can live with what it's looking like, you can wait. But as long as it's out there, it might have rhizospira or needle cast or something. That could be the issue. It's just going to keep having all those fungal spores, which could infect other plants around it, other spruces that might be susceptible. You may want to wait a year or two, but in the meantime, plant something else nearby that can take its position in the landscape so that you don't start and have to start with a little one-foot tree. You can put a tree out there now that will grow a little bit. So when you take your spruce down, you have something that's there already taking its place. It's going to look worse and worse as time goes by, and you can try to treat it depending on what it is. That's money, that's time investment, but I would definitely start something else nearby so that you can get that other tree growing to take its place.
A texter wants to know, going back to the Master Gardener issue we talked about, is there a fee for the Master Gardener program?
There is. When you take the class, there is a basic fee for it. You also have to do 50 hours of volunteer work within your first year of becoming a master gardener. And then you only have to pay that fee. If you don't do the 50 hours of volunteer work, you then pay the full cost of the class. We do have scholarships available, so there's always that help for you if you want to, because we don't want to ban anybody from becoming a master gardener. We'll do everything we possibly can to bring you into the program. And if money is an issue, you talk to the coordinator about it, and we'll figure something out.
That's great.
That's a good question, because it's not free. That's a good question.
Absolutely. Finally, we just have about a minute or so to go. A texter wants to know, as a beginning, not a green thumb person, what's an easy plant or plants for a house plant that I can take care of is basically what they're asking.
Oh, any that's ideas? A good question. Yep. So go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. They'll list them. But there are some things like pothos, P-O-T-H-O-S, evergreen plant. There's a Chinese evergreen. That's really easy. Sansevieria or mother-in-law's tongue, and I think they just renamed that something else, but I still call it a Sansevieria, mother-in-law's tongue. Those are easy houseplants to grow. And if you have pets or small children in the house, do double check to make sure that they're safe for pets and small children. If your pets nibble on plants or if you're worried that your children will eat the houseplants. My mom grew all kinds of plants, even very poisonous ones, and I had them in my room too. And none of us kids ate them, but that's just us.
That's good.
So it just depends on what your child or pet is like.
Some good tips there. Well, Teresa, always a pleasure. Thanks for all your help. And I know we'll do this again.
We will do this next month. I'll see everybody then. Well,
very good. Thank you. Thanks, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Again, coming up next hour here on CCO, get those home improvement questions ready. I know we're going to be talking about the insulation a lot, given these cold temps, with Andy Lindis next hour. So home improvement, stay with us here on 830-WCCO.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed, we are welcoming your lawn and garden questions to be answered by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Things are looking up, at least the temperature. The thermometer is looking up. Yeah, it looks really good. Relatively speaking, we're still might hit around zero for an overnight low, but wind chill's still a factor. But it looks well, unseasonably warm by the end of the week. The 20% chance of rain maybe on Thursday.
I'm almost okay with that, Denny.
I understand why you're saying that. In the meantime, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we tend to get this hour. So call with any kind of a lawn or garden question you might have for Teresa. Either call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Yes, indeed, that's exactly well, things are thawing out, so things just kind of, it's almost like springtime, they're popping out of the ground. In fact, somebody sent a text earlier today thinking spring. Interesting question, I think. It says, I'll just pose it and then we'll talk about other things. Our well water, texter says, is very rusty. We water our vegetable garden with overhead sprinklers. Particularly with our potatoes, it seems that we can see a slight rusty color on the plants later in the season. The question is, does the rusty water have any bad effects on our vegetable plants?
It does not. Your plants will be just fine with it. The color on the plants is just, it should be fine. Everything should be fine with your plants as long as your well water is safe and you've tested it, and it should be just fine. The rust is not an issue.
Oh,
I grew
good.
Up in northern Minnesota where rust is like everywhere. I mean, the waters run red on the streets because of the iron ores, and the plants are just fine. So don't worry about it.
Well, that's good to know. That's good. Where did you grow up, if I may ask?
Up in Virginia.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so I'm a deranged ranger.
I was going to say
so
you're a ranger.
That explains so much about me. If you know me, I'm deranged. Yes,
they're a great bunch of folks. But I remember my longtime friend Steve Cannon and I have had many conversations about the range.
The range.
As he called it.
The range.
Yes. Yes. Again, 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you with any kind of a lawn or garden question. Getting some, and naturally so, I guess, some, excuse me, indoor type of questions.
Yep.
This is the first one here. What does plant shock look like?
Plant shock.
I've heard the term, but
I haven't heard it in that respect. I would think it could be either it's a shock with temperatures. You're bringing home a plant from the garden center, and it gets cold outside and maybe it wasn't double wrapped if it's really cold, or if you've just transplanted a plant, then your plant will go into a shock. That's a big, it's like you moving a house. It's a moving from one house to another. It's a big shock on your system. It's an even bigger shock on the plant system because you've moved those roots around. You've damaged some roots. So sometimes there will be a transplant shock. And that just means you just carefully keep the plant watered well. You don't give it any food until it starts to be actively growing. And then you can restart your fertilizing program. But for those first maybe month and a half, you just want to make the plant's life as easy as possible. Give it the light it needs, the warmth it needs, and the water that it needs. And hold off on fertilizing those new plants.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning here on CCO, either by phone or by text. Speaking of the phone, let's grab a phone call. Kathy is calling in from Excelsior this morning, I believe. Kathy, good morning. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Good morning, Teresa. I brought my cannas in last fall, and now they've started to grow. Should I cut them back, or should I continue to let them grow?
I would let them grow if you want to maybe start to plant them up in maybe in a, if you can hold off, maybe keep them in a little cooler location, a little darker, so they're not as actively growing. Keep an eye on them, and then maybe toward the end of February, plant them up, and then they'll be that much further ahead when you get them outside and you transplant them into the big pots or into the soil where you're going to transplant them. But they were just ready to grow, I guess. It just got a little warm for them.
That's going to be interesting. Well, maybe interesting is not the correct word, but looking at that forecast, it's still cold. But by the end of the week, we're looking at about 37 degrees. Is that going to cause any issues? Now, again, if we have, it's such a small chance of rain, 20%, I believe, this 37 degrees, is that going to make the plants or shrubs or whatever start reacting? Or are we still in the depths of winter? It shouldn't.
It's still winter because the light, although the light is getting more, that we're having more light and more intense, and the temperatures probably won't stay in the 37s for that long. If they hit 37 and they stay there for a month, then you're going to see a lot more growth on the plants. But if the temperatures rebound back to closer to 32, 33, 27, the plants will just say, it takes them a little while to react to those quick temperature spikes. But if the temperatures stay up for a longer time, the plants say, it's spring. And then they start to get a little aggressive and growing, and you start to see the buds swelling a little bit and things like that.
As I said, texters asking about indoor plants. What kinds of issues can occur with growing plants indoors? That's a good question.
Well, that's a really good question. So sometimes we have in our homes, we have these bright windows that we have on the south side or west side of our house, and we think there's so much sunlight. But for the plants, they're getting filtered sunlight through the screens on your windows. They think there's so much sunlight. But for the plants, they're getting filtered sunlight through the screens on your windows, the dirt on your windows, the dust on your windows. And then if your windows have any argon gas or anything between them, or there's two or three panes, a lot of that light gets filtered out. So the plant is seeing a lot less light. And also inside the house, your plants may be attacked by insects because there's no predators around. There's no birds usually to eat the little critters. There's no other aggressive insects that eat those critters. Those little mealy bugs and scales and white flies and things like that have no predators. So sometimes you can see in that perfect environment an increase in insects. And then you just have to go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, pull up your house plants, and then look at the insects that you're seeing and how to treat them on specific plants.
That's a great idea. We always like to make mention of that University of Minnesota website. One of the best. We're so lucky to have that.
We are.
It's an
excellent website. Oh, my goodness.
extension.umn.edu. If you want to find some great information, whether you're a master gardener like Teresa or a beginning gardener, Maybe you're looking for a plant, a tree, a shrub, or how to grow tomatoes, or whatever. Or maybe you want a better lawn. There's so many. I mean, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. There's so much information in that website, extension.umn.edu. Check it out. And you can even ask a master gardener, I believe, on that, right?
You can, yep. Just scroll down a little bit, and it'll say ask a master gardener. You can click on that little field, and you'll get you right over to the master gardeners. You can type in your question. You can add up to 3 photos, I think, to illustrate your problem or your question if you have good photos. And then a master gardener will research it and get back to you.
But you also have the opportunity this very morning right here on WCCO to ask this master gardener your questions. Teresa Rooney, kind enough to help out this morning. So if you'd like to call Teresa, if you'd like to send a text, either way, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. We'll take a quick break, Teresa, and be back on the other side. 651-461-9226. I can tell you it's still 4 below zero. We're looking for a daytime high today of about 10 above, but still the wind chill value is going to be still chilly, minus 17 or so. We dropped to zero overnight. And then tomorrow, partly sunny for your Sunday, near 21, the daytime high, but the trade-off is it's going to be a windy day, gusting as high as 35 miles an hour. So you still need to bundle up tomorrow. But 21 the high tomorrow. Right now, fair skies, it's a minus 4 here on 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those particular lawn and garden questions you may have this morning at 651-461-9226. If you'd like to call it in, we'd love to hear your voice. If you want to send a text, if that's easier, that's great too. 651-461-9226. Teresa, we have a call. Kyle calling in, I believe, from Dassel this morning. Kyle, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Hello, Teresa. I planted in late fall, maybe late September, about 2.5-3 acres of a mix of fescue and winter wheat for cover crop for the winter. The winter wheat started sprouting a little bit, and the grass did not like it. I was hoping so. But I was doing so much listening about pollinators and pollinator plants. I was wondering if there's something out there, a good mix, I could maybe go out there early spring to broadcast on some pollinators and then roll that in, because I've got a lot of dirt exposed. It was only like a 30% mix of winter wheat that started coming up.
Kyle, that's a great, great idea. You can add some clover to that. That would be wonderful. The white clover will really help. It'll add to your soil some nutrition and nitrogen, but it also will be a wonderful a pollinator plant. That would be the easiest thing to do when spring is a great time to add the clover to that. Good luck, Carl. Kyle.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any type of, like, more of a taller flowering plant that I could throw in there as well?
If you want to look at any of the native plants that you want to grow out there, you could do coneflowers and just look at native prairie plants. A lot of them will need winter stratification. So it would be better if you could maybe, I don't know if your ground's bare now, you could put the seed out now for them. If the ground's covered with snow, you can't do that. But maybe next year in the fall, then you could sow the taller native wildflowers, like the coneflowers and things like that up there. It depends on how tall you want them. Look into some taller native flowers. Go to the Extension website, and they'll have some great ideas for you, Kyle. Good luck with
that. Yeah, that's what I was kind of looking for, is where to go to get it. Okay, off that Extension website.
UMN.edu.
Yeah, you'll love it. That's great.
Yep.
Thanks, Carl.
You'll love it, Kyle.
Appreciate it. Again, 651-461-9226. Looking at some text messages coming in this morning, Teresa. Here's one. Why are my taunt and yews turning almost black? I watered them well this fall, as I did all my evergreens. Love the show. That comes from Bill.
That's an interesting thing. I'm not quite sure why they would be turning black. I would maybe go out there and cut a little bit off and bring it in the house and see if you can see anything on that. You may even want to take some pictures, two or three pictures of them in the situation, and send that to the extension website, Master Gardeners. Ask a Master Gardener, and they might be able to do some research on it. It could just, if you've never seen this before, I'd be worried. If you've seen this other years, some yews and some evergreens turn weird colors in the winter, but it's not usually the Taunton yews. They don't turn black, and black is not something you want to see on your plants.
Okay. Dexter says, good morning. What is the benefit of organic soil versus non-organic soil for indoor houseplants when repotting with fresh soil?
That's a total personal preference, whether you want to just go with organic or non-organic. It's just a totally personal preference to you, how organic you want to be. If you're not eating something that you're growing from your houseplants, you're not growing lettuces or something like that, it's really up to you. You don't have to do organic if you don't want to, or you can if you want to. It's just personal.
Well, I'm looking at a text that I bet, after listening to you and your colleagues, I bet I know the answer, what you're going to say.
Okay.
Here. Wondering if I can trim lilacs now. They have grown, they are leaning toward the road, need to shape them up a bit. Can I trim off the ends?
Okay, so the short question is, there's no pruning police. You can trim a plant whenever you want to. However, there are consequences to trimming your lilacs now. You will be pruning off flowers. If you don't care, then go ahead and prune. If you need those flowers for some reason, then you do not prune. However, if they're leaning toward the road, they're going to be in the road, they're going to be obstructing the view, then you probably have to trim them now. And you'll just lose out on the flowers this year. So those are the things you have to juggle. Do you want the flowers, or do you have to prune for shape and safety? If you have to prune for shape and safety, that overrides your wanting of flowers, and you just don't get flowers this year.
Interesting watering question, text-wise, Teresa. Would it be a good idea, Texter says, to pour some water on young trees this next week when the temperature rises?
I would say no. I go out there. If the soil is frozen, which I'm sure it is, the water will not go anywhere. It will not stick it to the ground. It probably will just turn into ice, which could cause issues later, or it will just run off and be wasted. So if the ground is not frozen, yes, you can water. If the ground is frozen, no, you cannot water and you cannot fertilize. You wouldn't want to be fertilizing now anyway.
No, true. Here's an interesting text. You can help me explain this. Texter says, we are members of Minnesota Water Garden Society and are looking forward to Teresa's talk next month. What is permaculture? What is permaculture? What is that?
Permaculture. So permaculture was kind of invented in the 1970s by two Australian gentlemen. It's a combination of permanent agriculture or permanent culture. It's not brand new. It's taking very old systems of gardening and bringing them all together and gardening with nature, like you would look into how does nature grow things, and that's how you grow things. You garden with nature. You put systems in place that kind of can reflect on each other and emphasize each other so that you keep getting more and more benefits and you have less and less inputs. And it just is a very helpful system to garden with nature. It helps you learn, you know, you don't have waste, and you do small incremental steps at a time, because every time you change something, everything around it changes. So you just mimic nature at all possibilities. And that doesn't mean you only grow what grows in nature. You can grow things that aren't normally native there, but you just intercrop them and bring them all together.
Now, you'll be speaking there? You'll be appearing there?
I will be speaking to them, yes.
All right. So this, if, can anyone attend, or is this strictly for the society?
You would have to talk to the Minnesota Water Garden Society. I don't know what they have, but yeah. But I'll be at the Home and Garden Show, too. So
oh, fantastic.
Not on agriculture, but on other things, yeah.
Well, that's coming
up. So I'll be cropping up everywhere, kind of, sort of, kind of like a Japanese Beatles. Garden Show, too, so.
Oh, fantastic.
Not on agriculture, but on other things, yeah.
Well, that's coming
up. So I'll be cropping up everywhere, kind of, sort of, kind of like a Japanese Beatles, so.
You're a popular master gardener, for sure.
I don't know about
that. For good reason.
I like to talk about gardening, so.
All right, well, we'll talk some more, because we'll take a break and have a look at that forecast, Teresa, so hang on. We have just about a half hour more of the show to go. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours. For Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, this morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa answering all of those lawn and garden questions this morning. It's 651-461-9226. If you'd like to call in your question, chat with Teresa, great. Otherwise, just send a text like some folks are doing as well. 651-461-9226. Teresa, here's another text. Texter says, I cut the brown hydrangea flowers in November when I made my porch pots. Will this result in fewer blooms next year?
Probably not, because your hydrangeas are probably the type that bloom on the new and old wood. So they'll send up new growth, and then you'll get new flowers. There are a few that bloom on old wood, so anything that you cut then will not. It would have set its buds last year, so you would have been pruning off those buds. But most of our flowers here in most of the hydrangeas we grow bloom on new and old wood, so you should be just fine.
Okay. What's going on at the Arboretum these days? Even though we have chilly weather, there's still things to do if you, you know, brave the cold weather, lots to do inside and outside.
There's lots of stuff going on at the Arboretum, so you could drive around or walk around and see what the evergreens are looking like. Look at the flower, the plants that have pretty colored wood, and you can see if you want to put those into your landscape, like red dogwood or something like that. There's classes going on at the Arboretum. There's yoga out at the Arboretum. It's inside now. It's not outside, I don't think. There's full moon hikes. There's one coming up this weekend, I think, or this week. So there's a lot of things that you can do at the Arboretum. And if you're really craving a bunch of nice, warm, moist air, you can head over to the conservatory and just stay in with the nice, warm houseplants in there, or the orchids and things like that in the conservatory. And there's lots of things going on at the Arboretum.
Absolutely. Get online and reserve time, and it makes it very easy to get there and park and all that. So just you gotta go online, though, for
sure. You gotta go online and get your tickets, get your reservation.
Great place. Texter says this, I wrap the trunk of my young hydrangea trees to prevent animals from chewing. Is it okay to leave the wrap on permanently? If yes, should I rewrap each season?
No. What I would do is, as soon as the plant starts to come out of dormancy in March or April, I would take that wrap off. If it's a hard plastic, be careful taking it off. If it's just the paper, it's going to disintegrate, so take it off. You want to have those trunks of all of those trees and shrubs, you want those wrap-free during the summer, so that insects can't get under that wrap and start to feed on your plant. And you want that nice, healthy growth. Plus, if you kept the wrap on all the time, the tree couldn't grow. The trunk can't grow. So you don't want to compress the trunk. So do take that wrap off during summertime.
All right, very good. Go back to the phones this morning, Teresa. Let's talk to Jill. Jill calling in from Stillwater this morning. Jill, thank you. What is your question, please?
I have a bunch of Annabelle hydrangeas. Can I trim those off now when it's been nicer, since we don't have the snow cover, or do I need to wait till spring?
you can trim those whenever you want to. Cut them back down to maybe about a foot or so, and then those parts that you have trimmed off, the stubs that you left, those will probably just leaf out for you, but they can also help to hold up some of the new stems that will be coming and help keep those more upright, especially when we get the heavy rains and things like that, because they tend to flop a bit. But yep, you can go ahead and prune them back if you want to now, or you can wait till a nicer day in February or March and then do it at that time.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. That's our phone number. It's also our text number on our Smart Garden Show this morning. This listener says this, Teresa. We will be gone for 15 days this coming February. I have a lot of indoor plants. What is the lowest temperature I can leave my home? The plants are cactus and not tropical. Also, would I need to have someone come in and water them once?
They probably don't need to be watered because you're going to lower the temperature a little bit so they won't be as warm. Give them a good drink of water before you leave. I would keep the house 60-ish for those cactus. I wouldn't probably go much lower than that. If you need to, maybe block off one room, move them all to one room if you want to lower the temp further in your house. However, it's only 2 weeks. I wouldn't lower the temp too low in your house. You don't want pipes freezing and things like that. So I'd keep it maybe 55, 60, and then in the room where the cactus are, keep it about 60.
All right, very good. Morning, Denny and Teresa. This texter says, regarding indoor plants, how frequently should they be fertilized? That comes from Marty in Minneapolis.
Marty, that's an absolutely excellent question. You never want to fertilize a plant that isn't growing actively. So if your houseplants are just sitting there and they don't seem to be putting on new growth, they aren't flowering, they aren't doing too much, just let them sit there and don't do too much right now. When they start actively growing, when they're seeing more sunlight, maybe the temps get a little warmer for them, but it's usually a light thing. Then as soon as you start to see that new growth, you can then go back to your fertilization schedule, whether it's at half strength or quarter strength every time you water, or how you normally do your fertilizing. Start off at half strength if possible, and then let them get actively growing, and then you can go back to fertilizing as normal.
A couple of other indoor plant texts coming in this morning. This one simply, well, it's a rather large paragraph, but basically they're talking about what might be the symptoms of overwatering your indoor plants.
That's a tough one to explain, because overwatering and underwatering can look the same initially. So your plants will start to wilt. The leaves start to just kind of droop down. The plant looks a little, not as glossy, not as happy, not as healthy as before. It doesn't have that glow. It kind of looks a little gray, a little ashen. And then you want to test and see, is it because I'm overwatering or underwatering? If it's overwatering, then take your plant to a place where you can, like a table, and take it out of the pot. See what the roots are like. Are the roots all mushy? Are they all decaying? Are they all just awful looking? Trim off all of that, put it in new soil, and then start the plant over again if possible. If, however, it's bone dry, then you need to water it. If it's just really the soil's really soggy, maybe remove some of that soil, retransplant, plant it into a new pot with some fresh soil, and be careful not to overwater, and make sure that you always have a drainage hole in the pot that you have the plant in, and that if you have it in a saucer, you make sure if that saucer gets filled with water, you empty that out so that the plant doesn't sit in that water. So the roots need air also. They need water, but they need air also, just like we need water, but we need air also. So if we were all underwater, we couldn't breathe and we would die. And you don't want your plant roots to sit in that soggy, wet, over wet soil.
There's another critter question. We get those from time to time, as you know. This listener doesn't know if it's aphids or fungus gnats, but they want to, how do you get rid of them? What's the difference? I mean, I've seen fungus mm-hmm. gnats in the past.
So aphids aren't going to fly very well. So if you come up to the plant and all of a sudden a cloud of little teeny tiny, they almost look like fruit flies, start flying around, those are fungus gnats. If you look on the plant and there's some bugs that are sitting there, and they're kind of just, they have round oval-shaped bodies, and then you start to see honeydew or a sticky substance on the leaves. Those are aphids. Two different things to get rid of. I would say go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and after you've decided which one you've got, then go for that treatment.
You know, something I haven't seen or heard in a long time are spider mites. Where do those usually show up? Is there a certain type of plant or plants that end up getting spider mites?
We start seeing spider mites on a lot of plants this time of year inside the house. You will also see them outside sometimes in the summertime, but we have predators out there that eat a lot of those spider mites, so they're kept under control usually. Sometimes they get a little heavy on some evergreens. But for spider mites in the house, that's when we start seeing them now, and it's because our plants are more stressed, because our houses might be cooler. They might be more drafty because we're sending out a lot of really dry heat coming from our heating sources, and that's really tough on plants not to have that humidity in the air. There's not a lot of sunshine in the house for the plants. They just get kind of stressed, so they're more susceptible to spider mites, and then you would see them in the house on just about almost any plant. Can get spider mites in the house. And then, again, go to the extension website and get some ideas how to take care of them. Sometimes just washing the plants off in the shower will really help. And just try to pull your plants through this tough time of year. January and February are really tough on our house plants. And by March, we have a lot more sunshine, and it's a little more humid, and it's a little easier on the plants. So they kind of breathe a sigh of relief, and so do we. They're a little easier, have a little happier.
Teresa, a texter wants to know, in spite of our warm-up by this coming week, is it still okay to trim any kind of trees?
Yes. So they're probably worried about their oaks and elms and ashes and things like that. Yes, you can. The insects aren't going to awaken out of dormancy. Worried about their oaks and elms and ashes and things like that. Yes, you can. The insects aren't going to awaken out of dormancy that quickly. We don't have to worry about funguses and things like that for our apple trees and our fruit trees. So yes, you can still prune your trees. If it's a good time to prune that tree, you can go ahead and prune it.
Okay. We need to take a quick break. Okay. Let's do that. We have time for your lawn and garden question, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226 here on our Smart Garden Show. 4 degrees below zero right now. We're hoping to hit a high of 10 degrees above. Stay with us here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. Just a reminder, coming along next hour here on CCO, we're going to be talking home improvement. If you have any kind of a home improvement type of question for Andy Lindis, we'll open up the phone lines and text line, of course, next hour for our home improvement show. In the meantime, we're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden type of questions today. And we do have some. We'll have some more, put you back to work. But again, if you've never checked out the U of M website, I really urge you to do that. It's extension.umn.edu. It is great wintertime, summertime, anytime reading. These good folks put in a lot of the labors of love to get you that information there. And it's one of the best in the country, I'll say that. Extension.umn.edu. But in the meantime, Teresa, here's one for you. Can I transplant a Christmas cactus now, or should I wait for spring?
You can go ahead and transplant that now, as long as it's not flowering. If it's flowering, wait till it finishes flowering, and then go ahead and transplant it. That's just fine. Perfect time for it.
Okay. Are you a fan, texter wants to know, of these small ceramic pots with a clay insert?
You can use those. However, you have to make sure that the ceramic pot, that you dump that water out, because it will drain through the clay, and then you don't want that clay pot sitting in that ceramic pot filled with water. You need to make sure you can either dump it out, or if it's really big, take a turkey baster and suck the water out as much as you can. After you water your plant, it will run through the soil, and then it'll sit in the ceramic pot. So you want to make sure that you can get that water out of there somehow.
You know, it seems to me that you and I talk about the Master Gardener program from time to time. Is this the time of year things really happen, or is it a beginning, or is it coming close to end of class? Where are we as far as Master Gardener education?
The interns are going through class right now. They'll be going through till the end of, I think it's January. However, they take the classes on their own. It's all online, so it's a self-paced thing. So they do say that you should try to get it done in the first part of the year because then volunteer opportunities will start coming. However, they can stretch those classes out to the end of the year if they want to. So, they're in the middle of class. The interns are in the middle of class. Most Master Gardener programs that have the Master Gardeners already certified are gearing up. They're starting to get their classes. So go to your local extension site and see if your county has classes that you can sign up for. I know in Hennepin County, we've got a lot of classes that we'll be putting on, vegetable growing classes and seed starting classes and all kinds of classes that will be going on. So you'll want to get involved and sign up for those. Most of the ones in Hennepin County will be going online. So there'll be Zoom classes. So actually anybody from any part of the state or even out of state can take our Zoom classes. We welcome everyone to the classes.
That's kind of neat. I wonder, again, I don't think you and I've talked about it, but if has been more of an interest since the pandemic hit over the last 3-4 years or so.
There has been. The gardening has come, and we see that in our Master Gardeners. We have a lot more people interested in becoming Master Gardeners. We also just see a lot more people gardening for themselves. They've come to realize that gardening, while it can be frustrating at times, it can also be very relaxing and give you just a breath of fresh air, literally and figuratively, to get out there and from some of the stresses in your life. And plus, if you're vegetable gardening, you can get food. Or if you're growing fruit or trees or bushes, you can get food. So there's always that aspect, too.
Great program. Texter says that doesn't mention a plant that might be affected, but they want to know, what is powdery mildew and how do I get rid of it?
Okay, powdery mildew is just what it sounds like. It's a mildew on your plant that looks like you sprinkled baby powder all over the plant. And those are the actual fungal spores that you're seeing there. So the first step you can do is actually to spray water on the plant. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but water like a rain or just a squirt gun of water will actually kill those spores. Then you want the leaves to dry very quickly. So maybe you set a fan on them, and hopefully that will end the cycle of powdery mildew. You can also go to garden centers and find pesticides or things that will help get rid of the powdery mildew. However, once you have it on the plant, it's harder to get rid of. And if you don't change the conditions of where the plant is growing, the powdery mildew can come back again. Outside in the garden, in the landscape, you will see that some plants always seem to get powdery mildew. It doesn't really impact them that much usually. It just looks bad for the plant. It does cut down on some photosynthesizing, but most plants can work their way out of it. Some plants are just very susceptible to powdery mildew.
Okay. This listener says, I have a spruce tree that is dying from the top down. It started a few years ago. I just checked with an arborist, and he said it has 10 years left. Should I just wait before chopping it down?
That depends. If you really like the plant and you can live with what it's looking like, you can wait. But as long as it's out there, it might have rhizospira or needle cast or something. That could be the issue. It's just going to keep having all those fungal spores, which could infect other plants around it, other spruces that might be susceptible. You may want to wait a year or two, but in the meantime, plant something else nearby that can take its position in the landscape so that you don't start and have to start with a little 1-foot tree. You can put a tree out there now that will grow a little bit. So when you take your spruce down, you have something that's there already taking its place. It's going to look worse and worse as time goes by, and you know, you can try to treat it depending on what it is. That's money. That's time investment. But I would also start, I would definitely start something else nearby so that you can get that other tree growing to take its place.
A texter wants to know, going back to the Master Gardener issue we talked about, is there a fee for the Master Gardener program?
There is. When you take the class, there is a basic fee for it. You also have to do 50 hours of volunteer work within your first year of becoming a Master Gardener. And then you only have to pay that fee. If you don't do the 50 hours of volunteer work, you then pay the full cost of the class. We do have scholarships available, so there's always that help for you if you want to, because we don't want to ban anybody from becoming a Master Gardener. We'll do everything we possibly can to bring you into the program. And if money is an issue, you talk to the coordinator about it, and we'll figure something out.
That's great.
That's a good question, because it's not free. That's a good question.
Absolutely. Finally, we just have about a minute or so to go. A texter wants to know, as a beginning, not a green thumb person, what's an easy plant or plants for a house plant that I can take care of, is basically what they're asking.
Oh, any that's ideas? A good question. Yep. So go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. They'll list some. But there are some things like pothos, P-O-T-H-O-S, evergreen plant. There's a Chinese evergreen that's really easy. Sansevieria or mother-in-law's tongue, and I think they just renamed that something else, but I still call it a Sansevieria, mother-in-law's tongue. Those are easy houseplants to grow. And if you have pets or small children in the house, do double check to make sure that they're safe for pets and small children. If your pets nibble on plants, or if you're worried that your children will eat the houseplants. My mom grew all kinds of plants, even very poisonous ones, and I had them in my room too. And none of us kids ate them, but that's just us.
That's good.
So it just depends on what your child or pet is like.
Some good tips there. Well, Teresa, always a pleasure. Thanks for all your help. And I know we'll do this again.
We will do this next month. I'll see everybody then. Well,
very good. Thank you. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Again, coming up next hour here on CCO, get those home improvement questions ready. I know we're going to be talking about the insulation a lot, given these cold temps, with Andy Lindis next hour. So home improvement, stay with us here on 830 WCCO.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.